We are very familiar with that passage of Scripture that we call the Great Commission, where Jesus wants His disciples to go preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Very familiar with that. But at the very end of that Great Commission, there is a promise that Jesus gives. He says, I will be with you, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the age. This evening, brethren, I'd like for us to study about how that the book of Acts is Christ's continued work. I'm looking forward to our new study of the book of Acts. Jeff started that with us this morning, and we look forward to a new year and a new quarter and a study of God's Word. I would encourage all of us to be present for our Bible classes. We get so much out of it. We learn so much more of God's Word when we can be here for class. And I look forward to our study of the book of Acts. But what I wanted to do this evening is to consider with you a study maybe that we haven't thought about. And that is that the book of Acts is not just simply the apostles going out doing some things. Of course, we have in our Bibles, it is described as Acts, and sometimes your Bible might say the Acts of the Apostles. And of course, it certainly is the apostles, some of them, going out doing things, and Luke recording that. But I believe that there's an element sometimes that gets forgotten or overlooked, and that is the matter that the book of Acts is a story of Christ's continued work. It's not just simply the apostles going out doing some things, but Jesus is at the right hand of God, and yet He still comes to earth and does work. And we're going to see that this evening. And I hope at the end of our lesson, we will make some practical applications for us today. I'm afraid that some people view the book of Acts simply as some things that the apostles were doing. And they discount the book as just simply a group of men trying to propagate what they call Christianity. And this group of men decided to do this, and that's all. And yet, we're going to find this evening that no, that is not the case. Christ Himself is working. This is what Christ wants in His work. And so I hope that this will help us to look at the book of Acts as a whole before we get into it in detail. I don't know about you, but if you ever put an address in your phone and use Google Maps, we all use that from time to time. I don't know if you ever do this, but a lot of times when I put the address in, I will scrunch the screen down so that I can get the big picture. I want to know basically where I'm heading before I look at the details. If I'm going to Nashville, I'll scrunch it down and make sure that there's a blue line all the way down I-24, right? If not, I want to take another route. I want to get that big picture before getting up on some of the details. And really, brethren, when you're studying the Word of God, that is the best way to approach any book of the Bible. Get that big picture to see where we're headed before we get into the details. So in the book of Acts, where we're headed is basically this. This is Christ's continuing work of saving souls. When He was here on the earth, He tried to save as many as He could. He dies on the cross and He sends His apostles out to preach the gospel. Now salvation is through baptism into His name. But He wants to continue saving mankind. And so the book of Acts is His work. It's not just some men going about doing some things of their personal opinion. And so this evening, let's look at that continued work in the book of Acts. Of course, we know that Luke is the author of both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. The same author, Luke, the same recipient, Theophilus, and the same subject, and that is the work of Jesus. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, Luke is trying to record the work of Jesus, and it's a work of saving mankind from their sins. Luke chapter 1 and verse 1, "For as much as many as have taken into hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us," the matters of Jesus, His life and His work, "even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." So, number one, others have seen these things. Others have drawn up a narrative. So that's the first thing Luke says. The second thing he says is that they were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Number three, "it seemed good to me also." Now Luke wants to join in with his narrative, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, "to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty concerning the things wherein you were instructed." What things? The things of Jesus Christ, His life, death, burial, resurrection, and how that pertains to being saved. Well, when you come to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, the former treatise, which is a reference to the Gospel of Luke, "I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was received up after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen." So Luke makes it clear that I want to write about what Jesus did. What was he doing? What was he teaching? What was he saying? And so Luke is not only a book about Jesus' work, but we're going to see this evening that Acts is the continuation of that work. It's not just men going out doing their own thing. And we'll close this evening, hopefully, with some practical lessons on that regard. How should we handle the book of Acts today? And when we're talking with other people about the book of Acts, what do we need to talk with them about? So what I want to do this evening is, brethren, I want us to do two things, and then we'll look at some practical lessons. Number one, I want us to go back to the Gospels and look at the evidence that is presented there that Jesus planned to continue working on after he ascended back into heaven. Number two, I want to look at those passages in the book of Acts that show that he personally is continuing to do his work. And then we'll close with some lessons this evening. So if you'll go back with me this evening to Matthew chapter 16, let's begin by looking at some evidence in the Gospels where Jesus made it clear that he wants to continue working even after he has ascended back into heaven. You remember Jesus said to Peter and the other disciples here, after he had asked them, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Upon this rock," this confession of Peter, "I will build my church." I will build my church. Well, when did Jesus do that? We always talk about the church beginning on the day of Pentecost, and it did in Acts chapter 2. But Jesus said, "I will build my church." And we're going to see later when we get to the book of Acts that he plays a part in that. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 20, if you'll turn with me there, he's talking specifically to the disciples here, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Well, wait a minute. I thought that he's going to be at the right hand of God. Well, he is, but he can also be here on the earth, and he can be in the midst of his brethren. And we're going to see in the book of Acts that he came and he helped individuals from time to time. That's very important. In Matthew chapter 28, with regard to the Great Commission, as I said just a moment ago, he said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." But in what way was he with them? Was he with them just in thought? So here he is up in heaven and, well, you know, they're down there on the earth and I've just got some thoughts about them. I mean, that's possible. But when we come to the book of Acts, we find that it's much more involved than that. It's not just some distant thought about them. "I will be with you always." And we're going to see in the book of Acts how he is with them, That's very important. And if you stop and think about it, when you're being given such a great commission, this is a very tall task. At the very last words are, I will be with you always. That's a comfort and a consolation and an encouragement. They probably didn't know at this time exactly how that would be fulfilled in their life, but they're going to find later as they go throughout their affairs that Jesus indeed is going to be with them. And not only them, but we're going to see even others to help them. The book of Acts is the continued work of Christ. That is very important. And we commonly come to the book of Acts and we should talk about how that it's the beginning of the church. We need to do that. I do that. The book of Acts is how the church began and how it spread. That is clearly a major theme in the book of Acts. We need to talk about cases of conversion in the book of Acts. How to become a Christian, that's a very important topic. But even bigger than that, even broader than that, is the book of Acts is telling the story of Christ's continued work of saving mankind. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. I'm sorry, the book of Mark. Let's keep going through our Gospels here. Turn with me to Mark's version of what we call the Great Commission. Mark 16. The Great Commission is given in verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we'll see some of those things in the book of Acts. Now look at this. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now this is what I want you to underscore in your Bible. Everybody needs to underscore it except Jeff. Jeff told me this morning that he doesn't ever underscore anything in his Bible, so everybody else can underscore this, but Jeff doesn't have to. Look at this. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Look at this. The Lord working with them. Look at that. The Lord working with them. We kind of overlook that. The Lord is working with them as they are doing these things. Acts is the continued work of Jesus, and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. You see, brethren and friends, Jesus didn't just ascend back up into heaven, and then everything going on in the book of Acts is just kind of what some men wanted to do. This is the very work of Christ being carried out. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, again, Luke's version of what we call the Great Commission, verse 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. We talk about how the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said here, I will send forth the promise of the Father. Look at that. This is the continued work of Christ when we begin to see the disciples being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, Acts 2:5. Jesus is sending forth this promise. He's continuing to do work. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Again, the disciples, when they stand up on the day of Pentecost, they have these statements. They have Matthew 28:20. They have these statements that Jesus is going to be with them and Jesus is going to do things for them. That's going to be very encouraging to them. But for us, we need to understand it's Christ's continuing work. Look at John 14 and verse 18. I will not leave you desolate. I come unto you. Look at that. I come unto you. And this is talking about when Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit to guide them into all the truth. Jesus is coming to them. He's coming as his words are coming to them. I come unto you. That is very important. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Look at this. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's very important. Look at verse 28. You heard how I said, I go away, and I come unto you. He's going to go away in the sense of going to the right hand of God, but he's going to come as he sends his word to them through the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 15 and verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you. Even the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost was a direct act of Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to them. Look at chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him unto you. Look at that. I will send him unto you. This is Jesus' continued work in the book of Acts. Look at verses 14 and 15. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he takes of mine, he, the Holy Spirit, takes of mine, Jesus, and shall declare it unto you. Bob was mentioning this morning. Some people think that the only words of Christ in the New Testament are the red letter words in the Gospels. And they've been misled by that. All of the words in the New Testament are the words of Christ. And so when Peter stands up with the 11 on the day of Pentecost and he's speaking the words of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is giving to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is giving to them. This is the direct work of Christ in the book of Acts. So just briefly looking at some evidence there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus made it clear, I am going away, but I'm going to come unto you. I'm going to keep doing my work with you. Let's turn now to the book of Acts, and let's look at the evidence in the book of Acts that shows that Christ is continuing to do his work. I'm not suggesting that you cross out your Bible, the Acts of the Apostles. I'm not suggesting that. But if you want to make just a little note out to the side, it is the Acts of the Apostles. But it's the actions of Christ through the apostles. Christ's continued work. Look with me at Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's look at some examples now in the remainder of our time we're going to spend the remainder of our time in the book of Acts. Look at Acts 1, 5. Jesus talking to the disciples here right before ascending back into heaven. For John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence or from now. Verse 8, but you shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. But who is the one who's baptizing them in the Holy Spirit? Well, you have to go back to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, where this promise is first given by John the Baptist. When you go back to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, you find that it is Jesus who's the one who is doing the baptizing. And so in Matthew 3:11, I, John the Baptist, baptize you in water unto repentance. But he, Jesus, that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Look at that. He shall baptize you. And so this is fulfilled on the disciples in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues. But John said he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So clearly Jesus is continuing his work. Turn with me now to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Peter confirms that Jesus played a role in this outpouring of the Spirit. Look at Acts 2 and verse 32. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Spirit, he has poured forth this which you see and hear. He did it. Jesus did it. Jesus is continuing his work by pouring out the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And then, turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Do you remember that statement back in Matthew 16, 18? Upon this rock, I will build my church. Well, we begin to see that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when there are some 3,000 that are baptized into Christ, and the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved. Jesus begins to build his church. How does he do that? He sends forth the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. They preach the gospel. They repent. They are baptized. They respond to the invitation. And the Lord adds them to his body of saved. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5 and verse 19. You remember Peter and John? They've been working miracles and they've been preaching the gospel in the Sanhedrin and the Jewish leadership. They don't want them preaching in the name of Jesus. And so they are incarcerated. They're put in jail. Look at Acts 5:19. But an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out. Who was that? Well, it was an angel, but it was an angel of the Lord. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And we begin to see that Jesus wants his church to start and to grow, and he wants these men to flourish and grow and spread. And so when there's this immediate persecution, there's this immediate pushback, there's an immediate resistance to the gospel, and Peter and John are thrown in jail, there are miracles being performed here and angels being sent. There are angels in the book of Acts being sent by the Lord. There are miracles being performed in the book of Acts. Why is that? Jesus said, I will be with you even unto the end of the age. I'm going to help this commission and church get started, and I want to help it flourish and grow. And if man pushes back, I'm going to help you with that. And we begin to see that here, that they are let out of jail miraculously by this angel of the Lord. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. It wasn't just limited to the immediate apostles in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen is being stoned. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, he being full of the Holy Spirit looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they're stoning Stephen in verse 59. They stoned him, calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Jesus is acting as an intercessor and an intermediate and a high priest. And we know from passages like Romans chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus intercedes for us. And we find him doing that very work for Stephen here in this Bible passage. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Acts 8:26. When Philip went down to Samaria to preach, and then later he was told to go on the way down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Notice the text says in Acts 8:26, but an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem. How did Philip know about this lonely man going down through the desert in a chariot? How did he know about that? Well, the angel of the Lord, Jesus, is helping Philip make a contact, if you will. And of course, we know the great outcome of that where the eunuch is baptized into Christ. But look at verse 39. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached the gospel to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. It's not just men doing some things. Jesus is actually helping them get from point A to point B. He's helping them to find out who to talk to. That's kind of an amazing thing right there. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Of course, we're very familiar with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And here's an example of where Jesus, at the right hand of God, He is speaking directly to Saul of Tarsus. Acts is the continued work of Jesus. And so as he journeys on his way, we find in Acts chapter 9 and verse 4, Saul of Tarsus hears this voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee there what thou must do." We find that Jesus is speaking to this great persecutor of the church. And he's telling him to go into Damascus. And when he gets into Damascus, Ananias is going to baptize him there. But notice what we find. Look at in Acts chapter 9 and verse 13. "But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many of this man how much evil he did to the saints, and how here he has authority from chief priests to bind all that call upon his name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name." So the Lord is speaking to Saul of Tarsus. The Lord is speaking to Ananias. He's getting them together. And Saul of Tarsus is baptized into Christ. Verse 18 and 19. And he becomes one of the greatest preachers of the gospel. But what's interesting about this, not only has Jesus already talked to Saul of Tarsus, but if you turn with me to the parallel accounts, look at Acts chapter 20, some statements that Paul makes about this. Acts 20, verse 24, "But I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself, so that I might accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." The Lord Jesus spoke to him and gave him a mission and a commission. It's not just Paul going out doing his own thing. Jesus is continuing his work. Look at chapter 22, verses 8, 9, and 10. "And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me beheld indeed the light, but heard not the voice of him that spake. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus." There again, it's mentioned the same thing. But this is interesting. Look at the parallel account in Acts 22 and verse 17. This is not found in the earlier account of chapter 9. After Paul is baptized, look at Acts 22, 17. "And it came to pass that when I had returned to Jerusalem..." Okay? This is in Acts 9. He had preached some in Damascus right after his conversion. Later, he goes to Jerusalem. "And while I prayed in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying unto me..." Saw who? The Lord Jesus. "I saw him saying in a trance, I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, because they will not receive of thee thy testimony concerning me." Paul is getting divine help from Jesus himself to get out of town on this occasion. "And I said, Lord, they themselves know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of Stephen, thy witness, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting and keeping the garments of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee forth hence unto the Gentiles." He said unto me. Acts is covered, somebody would say today, it's got Jesus' fingerprints all over it. We would word it that way today. Acts has Jesus' fingerprints all over it. He's continuing to work. And that's what we must recognize. Look at chapter 26 with me when Paul looks at this account again. Chapter 26 and verse 15. "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness both of these things wherein thou hast seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee." It's not over with. There's going to be other appearances that I will make to you. Look at this. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles," we're going to see an example of that in just a minute, unto whom I send thee. I want you to go out. I'm sending you out, but I'm giving you help too. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to appear to you. I'm going to help you be delivered. Jesus is continuing to do His work. What a great thing that is. And that's one reason why Paul was so successful. Turn with me to Acts 9 and verse 34. Let's leave Paul for just a minute. Let's come to Peter. In Acts chapter 9, turn with me there, when Peter is doing miracles in the area of Lydda and Sharon outside of Jerusalem, he comes to this, the saints that are dwelling at Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas who had kept his bed 8 years, for he was palsied. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, look at this, Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus Christ heals you. Earlier in the book, John would say, what I have I give you. Peter and John, they would say, we are healing you in the name of Jesus. Peter doesn't even do that here. He just said, Jesus heals you. That shows you that Jesus is continuing to work. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11 and verse 21. Acts 11, 21, when there are those who are preaching the gospel and they take the gospel up to Antioch, and there are, the church is formed in Antioch. Why was the church formed in Antioch? And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned unto the Lord. What does that mean, the hand of the Lord was with them? What does that mean? Providence. Through His providence, He brought the gospel preachers together with those who want to hear, and a great number believed, turned unto the Lord. And this is the place where they're called Christians for the first time. Why? The hand of the Lord was there. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12 and verse 7, when Peter is in prison. Who let Peter out of prison? Acts 12, verse 7. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the cell, and he smote Peter on the side and woke him, saying, rise up quickly. An angel of the Lord. Jesus is sending an angel to release Peter so that he can get out of prison. It shows up again in verse 11, verse 17. And when somebody is not living right, look at chapter 12, verse 23, the angel of the Lord smote Herod for his pride, and he was eaten with worms. Yes, Jesus is at the right hand of God, but He has the ability, because He's God, to come down to earth and do these things for His newly formed church and for these disciples. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13 and verse 11, when Paul was on the island of Cyprus preaching there, and there's this one who is withstanding the preaching of the gospel. Acts 13, 9. Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fastened his eyes on him and said, O full of all guile and all villainy, thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Here the hand of the Lord is upon thee for something that is not good. Back in chapter 11, the hand of the Lord was operating providentially in a good way. Turn with me to Acts 16 and verse 7. When Paul is preaching the gospel in Philippi, the Lord, as Paul is preaching the gospel, we're told that the Lord opened the heart of Lydia in verse 14. A certain woman heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things which were spoken by Paul. Back up to verse 17. The Lord even had His hand in guiding where they were supposed to go on their mission as they're traveling through Phrygia and Galatia. Acts 16, verse 6. They were going to speak the word in Asia, and when they were come over against Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, to go up more toward the northern part, up toward the Black Sea. You've heard a lot about Ukraine and Russia, going up kind of toward that way. And the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. I don't want you to go up in that direction right now. And passing by Mysia, they came unto Troas. And there they get the famous Macedonian call, come over and help us. The Lord is guiding them in where He wants them to go at this time. Acts is the continued work of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18. I love this story. Corinth was a very difficult place for Paul. Later, he's going to say in 2 Corinthians that when I was with you, within were fears and without were fightings. It was a difficult place for Paul. He was there a year and a half. It was a difficult time. And look at this, Acts 18 and verse 9. And the Lord said unto Paul in the night by a vision. You remember back in the conversion of Saul, the Lord said, I'm going to appear to you again. He appeared to Paul in a vision at night. Be not afraid. That's going to encourage Paul. That's going to help him. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to harm thee. For I have much people in this city. And he dwelt there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. It was a difficult place for Paul, likely because they're very heightened amount of immorality there. But Jesus said, don't fear, I am with you. Go out there, speak, and be bold. And then last of all, turn with me to Acts chapter 23. When Paul, he's done with all of his preaching trips, and he's brought the alms and the money back to the needy saints in Jerusalem. He talks about bringing alms to his nation. And he's arrested in the temple, Acts 21 and 22. In Acts 23, he's standing before the Jewish Sanhedrin. Look at this, Acts 23:11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified concerning me at Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when you read the rest of the story, Paul's nephew, he's the one that exposes this assassination attempt and allows Paul to be saved by the Roman centurion. Brethren, Acts is the continued work of Jesus Christ. It's not just the history of some things that some guys are doing. It's very much the work of Jesus. And so I want to close this evening with just three points. Acts is the continued work of Christ's power. Christ's power. What you see in the book of Acts is Christ's power. You see it in miracles. You see His authority. And I want you to take notice as we go through the book of Acts, I want you to take notice of the four things in the book of Acts that are tied to the name or the authority of Jesus. First of all, people need to call upon the name of the Lord. They need to appeal to the Lord to be saved. Number two, we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number three, there were miracles that were performed in the name of Jesus. And there was preaching that was in the name of Jesus. Sometimes when you're talking with people today, they take this approach that, well, you know, the book of Acts, it's just, you know, some guys and their opinions and what they think and what they feel. No. This is the very words of Christ that are being preached and presented. The very miracles that are being done. Peter said, Jesus heals you. And His power is continuing to be displayed. And we need to understand that. That when Peter says, for example, repent and be baptized, that's not his opinion. This is the very words of Christ. So first of all, what we see is Christ's power on display throughout the book of Acts. The second thing that we see in the book of Acts is Christ's continued work of providence. He's guiding people. He's telling them where to turn and how to make these journeys. He's telling them, Paul, you need to get out of Jerusalem. The hand of the Lord. Look at that statement. The hand of the Lord. What is that? It reminds me of the book of Ezra, when Ezra comes back in Ezra chapter 7 and 8. There's this expression that's found more than once. The good hand of the Lord was upon us. What is that? The providence of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. He holds all things. Colossians 1, 16, 17, and 18. He holds all things by the power of His hand. He is the one who upholds all things. And we need to remember that even for us today. Christ's authority is for us today. Christ's providence is for us today. And I've made this point before in Hebrews chapter 1 that He uses angels to do His will. I'm not suggesting that we all have a guardian angel. The Bible doesn't teach that. But I do believe that Jesus protects and provides and watches over, and we need to understand that that still goes on today. And He would say to us today, fear not. We need to continue to do what He wants. And before all things, and in Him, Colossians 1:17, in Christ, all things consist or hold together. And then last of all, we're learning in the book of Acts the continued work of Christ's preaching. This is not the opinions of the apostles or the opinions of Stephen or the opinions of Paul. This is the very word of Christ. This is the preaching of Christ, and we need to obey that preaching today. Well, I hope that that has helped in some way. The book of Acts is the continued work of Jesus Christ. Let's get that as a big picture. We're going to be getting the details as we go along. And it's going to begin in Jerusalem, and it's going to spread throughout Judea and Samaria, and it's going to go to the uttermost part of the earth, and there's going to be a lot of activities and a lot of actions. That's why the book is called Acts. But just keep in mind the big picture that Jesus, being God, has ascended back into heaven, and yet He can still come down to this earth and do what He needs to do to continue saving mankind. Luke and Acts go together. They're two sides of the same coin. Jesus' work of saving mankind. I appreciate and look forward to that study that comes up. There are so many people that just dismiss the book of Acts as just some actions of some individuals who were trying to keep Jesus' name alive. It's much, much more than that. It's the very work of Christ through these great men. And what we're supposed to gain from it is that we are supposed to be those New Testament Christians just like we find in the book of Acts. Let's be added. Let's let the Lord add us to His church. And let's let us be a part of that. And we mentioned that this morning. Ephesians 3:21. That's how we glorify God, by being in the church and in Jesus Christ. There may be someone here this evening that we can help to do that. As we sing this song of invitation, we would invite you to come. And let's be a part of that continued work. We don't have apostles today. We don't have miracles today. But that great commission continues on. And let's help Christ do His work in Clarksville this year in 2026. If we can help you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?